Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Last year was Jessica and my 10-year wedding anniversary, a full decade. We went to Dunkirk Family Camp, but little did I know that she had secretly purchased an airline ticket, booked a hotel, and planned a trip to Colorado Springs following camp immediately. Talk about feeling loved and spoiled at the same time. Colorado Springs is a beautiful place with mountains, the plains, and this rich and thriving history that is told through artwork in the city. Now, if you ever go to Colorado Springs, I recommend two spots. The first is a must, and that is the Garden of the Gods. Stunning piece of God's creation. The second place is a place named Montanu Cliff Dwellings. You may be familiar with the Mesa Verde Pueblo people. Well, in this part of Colorado lived their distant kin, who also carved their homes into rocks. This protected place was the vision of Miss Virginia McClurg. She wanted two things. The first was to relocate scattered cliff dwellings to one location in order to preserve and protect its history for posterity. The second was that women would be in charge, not men, since men were quick to use dynamite or do anything to make an extra dollar. And you know what? She did both, protecting the cliff dwellings and women in leadership, and today it is called Montanu Cliff Dwellings. And so we went in and throughout the cliff dwellings, going through various rooms and what it meant to their lives. We were blown away by the innovations cliff dwellers developed over the years. These ancient people, as you know, were geniuses. Without textbooks or a single class, they unlocked the science of herbs and medicine, the science of preserving food, and the architectural skills to heat and cool homes in any season. Every subtle alteration meant something. And so as we were walking through, I noticed that through every single doorway, there was a little shelf on all sides. And we finally came to the plaque that explained to us what that was. And it was built for those in the home who were older and needed some assistance as they were getting from one room to the next room. They built it so others could stabilize themselves, and I was really moved by the way they built and innovated their homes to be inclusive and accessible to everyone in the family. It's incredible what people can accomplish when they come together to build. I have stood in several historical places with that kind of awe and reverence. St. Mark's Basilica, Notre Dame Cathedral of Paris, Westminster Abbey in London, and as of last summer, Montanu Cliff Dwellings in Colorado Springs. It's incredible to see what people can accomplish when they build together. If you were in Lancaster on September 13th, 1965, you would have noticed a commotion around this town. If you sat on your front porch, you would have observed men wearing white button-down t-shirts with matching ties going from door to door. If you were a child, your parents may have opened the door to listen to them when what they had to say. Your parents may have been the ones going out to ask. This well-dressed, jovial group represented Grace United Church of Christ, the church located off Chestnut with a golden dome, which still stands across from Double Edge Brewery today. The church had a vision to purchase land and build a new building that could hold all of its various programs and a time when the American church was growing and there was a cultural expectation to attend. with community support and affirmation of their ministry here in Lancaster, neighbors gave much. They were able to raise the final funds necessary for this place we are in right now. 87 people got together that day to knock and to invite. It's incredible what people can accomplish when they come together to build. The impossible becomes possible. One generation of builders can create a legacy for others to enjoy, but also a legacy that can be built upon. Nehemiah is a book we don't read often, nor is the book of Ezra. Both give a historical account of the people of God rebuilding Jerusalem following its destruction by the Babylonian Empire. Now, little background, throughout the Bible, God's people move and have their being on a plot of land that sits precariously between two warring empires. And in 586 BCE, the Babylonians not only conquer Jerusalem, but utterly destroy the temple and its surrounding infrastructure. They exiled the scholars, the elites, all those who would build their empire, and took them back to their native land. God's people were broken, just like their city. And the book of Ezra provides a historical account of the rebuilding of the temple approximately 120 years later. And then Nehemiah recounts the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem 130 years later. And just before our text this morning, Nehemiah, the governor, is touring the destruction of the walls. However, his animal cannot get through all the destruction. And so he shares this vision with the community to restore and rebuild the walls, not just for the sake of getting on the historical register, but like his animal, he wants the city to be accessible and welcoming to everyone who visits. And so we read in this section about a sheep gate, a fish gate, and a fountain gate, and probably are asking why. Well, the sheep gate was located near the market, providing easy access for people to bring in or purchase sheep for sacrifice in worship of God. The fish gate was near, you probably know, the fish market, and the fountain gate led to a path leading to En Rogel, a natural spring where people could collect and carry clean drinking water back home. So by restoring or rebuilding the gates and walls, Nehemiah envisioned a city that could meet the needs of its people and the needs of travelers and immigrants who are coming through, much like the way God cares for the needs of all God's people. Nehemiah shares this vision with the community, and I love their response in chapter 2, verse 8, when there's this chorus and enthusiastic and determined crowd says, "Let's start building." And then scripture says, so they committed themselves to doing the common good. They didn't go out in white button-up shirts and ties, and it wasn't just the men. Nehemiah records a log of what work they did and exactly who helped. This included diverse skills, goldsmiths, perfumers, politicians, and everyday people we would probably lump ourselves into. It included different work, some laying beams, some constructing doors, and the small work in there for building the bolts and the bars for those doors. There is a commitment to repair what has been broken, or in some cases, to imagine and rebuild something brand new in its place. Sons next to fathers, mothers next to sons, fathers next to their daughters, families next to families, strangers and neighbors working together. So why does Nehemiah tediously give us names to mispronounce and worship, and a list of chores to places we do not know? Why does this matter to us? Like standing in the Mountaineu Cliff Dwellings or in St. Mark's, or even here in this sanctuary, we are reminded of the amazing things God can do and what God can accomplish when people get together envision possibilities, and commit themselves to doing small acts of common good. Let's be clear, the building is not the good. The building is not the good. In this stewardship season, I want to remind you, the money that we give or offer is not the good. The resources or your time or your gifts are not the good. But through it, because of it, God's good can be done. We worship in this place, a product of hard work of many who first built and consecrated it. People who first received what previous generations had built for them. And so we, the church today, continue to make repairs on, yes, the building, but repairs on this ministry. We discern with God blueprints of what is possible when we, the body of Christ, come together. What could happen when a clossing and a clay pool get together? What's possible when a Hartman, a Schleich, Pierce, and Ardo stand side by side? Could we imagine Lehman, Brooke, and Price conspiring about building something new, or a Mowry, Graff, and Patterson? Think of Lanning getting together with McDevitt, Harvey, and Argyle. What if Eller, Landis, Callahan, and Bright put their heads together? Imagine Knotts, Browns, Rivera, or Borgir on the same project, or Folk teaming with Weiss, Blaisdell, Timmerman, and Zellers. And I do apologize if I have missed your name, but if you are listening, you are the body of Christ. Nehemiah names families because each came together to build a legacy for future generations unborn who would pass by the work of their hands and see the imprint of God's goodness and allow God's love to flow beyond the walls in the ways of mercy and justice. You may agree with me about what I'm about to say, and that is this. I don't think God is calling us to build another building anytime soon. You may disagree, but I think most of you would agree. I don't think God is calling us to build like those in the 60s. However, I do believe God calls us, unites us to build. Build something, anything in which God's love and grace can flow through. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. And so the exciting question, the imaginative question for the church throughout time is, what could we build with a word and a vision? What could we construct with the help of God? What does God need the church to be in these days and in this place? And if I could, I'd like to end by naming something. I want to end by naming a wall that I see our church constructing in real time. And it's not finished yet. I'm actually fascinated on how you're doing this right now. Because it's not a wall that keeps people out, but it's a wall that is keeping people safe. It is a wall that guards the image of God, which others seem more than happy to let crumble these days. You all are building something here, and I believe it is with the Spirit. And I believe there is more work to be done. That it may get harder in days, months, or years to come. But I want you to look around. Actually, look around, I know. You aren't alone in whatever happens. Because you are the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.